And welcome to Kill the Bottle Podcast. My name is Eddie Zamora, a.k.a. the Yum Yum Foodie. And the birthday girl to my right is Miss Megan Elizabeth. And I finally turned off my phone. Sorry about that, Megan Elizabeth.
I like the quack. The
it's
birthday
a quack.
Girl. Quack.
You know, it's a little ack. It's a little tribute to the Howard Stern Show. That's how I get my messages. How was your birthday week?
Fine.
Really? You're so, every time you're so droll.
I know, everyone's going to be like, she's the most depressed person. I'm really not. But no, it was fine. It was good.
It was good?
It was good. Mm-hmm. I almost was like 100% drama free this weekend, but there was some drama from work. Shocking. But other than that, my parents came out and we stayed in Seal Beach and we hung out on the beach and I found a place to live that's not ghetto.
That's not ghetto. Okay, so, but, you know, you're in K-Town, I heard. That's the word
K-Town.
Around the campfire.
K-Town.
And I offered my cheap labor,
yes.
So I'll be helping you
move. It's just one
move.
Couch, really.
It's just one couch.
How was your week? And, I don't know why.
So, a dear friend of mine is in town, so it's been great. He's from here. He moved away to Nashville, and he's here visiting. So he and I have had a blast of a dandy time over the past few days. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a few years, so it's been lovely. He's actually sitting in the sound. It's funny. I wanted to bring something up because there's been a wild kind of a foodie controversy that's happening in LA, and it's kind of happening nationally now.
Oh my God!
There is a place called Bel Campo. Bel Campo Farms. They have Bel Campo Restaurant, and they're a farm to table kind of a. They were kind of the model citizens of the grass fed beef world. So if you went to their butcher shop, they had the grass-fed beef. They all came from the same farm in Mount Shasta in Northern California, and that was like their thing. Mm-hmm. You knew you went to Bel Campo, you'd pay an arm and a leg for something, and you knew what you were getting because it came from this whole lineage of the farm, and they always have like their Instagram is happy cows in Mount Shasta and whatever. So what happens is there's an article on Eater that comes out a week ago.
Oh, no.
And it turns out that an employee of Bel Campo outed them because they were buying cheaper cuts of meat, labeling it as the Bel Campo farm stuff.
Oh.
And then something that should be $10 a pound, they would put it in the window of the butcher shop for $48.99 a pound.
No!
Oh, yeah. They got caught with the ultimate hands in the, you know, the meat cookie jar. Mm. They got busted. So it has turned into a complete shit show.
Wow.
They're, you know, issuing apologies, but then now more and more and more employees are coming out.
Oh, my God.
And saying all the...
They're getting me-tooed with food.
They're getting food-tooed.
Food-tooed.
Yeah, they're getting food-tooed.
Food-tooed.
And, you know, it's funny because it goes to show you go in with this expectation, especially with like a butcher shop. So there's some folks that are... At least, you know, maybe they're not vegan, they're not vegetarians, but they want to make sure that the meat that they buy is treated the best, you know, most humanely. And this was the MO, supposedly, of this company. And now they get busted doing this shit,
Here's my word of advice for everybody.
Yeah.
Never be a model anything. How about that?
Yeah. How about that? Never be a model anything.
Don't be a model anything. Because then if you get caught doing something bad... It's not as bad, a big of a deal.
If you just heard a cork pop, the show is called Kill the Bottle, as some of you who may know, may not know. And today we're drinking some special wines.
I'm a model drinker. That's what I am.
You definitely are. You're a model drinker.
Can't mess that up.
These wines are from Napa. It's from a little winery called Gratis. And Gratis in Latin is like gracious, you know, grateful. So Gratis.
Gratus.
Excuse me. I can't stop coughing. I don't know what the hell I'm choking on.
You're
it's definitely not
smoker.
Wine. I'm not even a smoker like Megan is. But we're drinking right now Megan and I are drinking a couple of wines. So that we've got a state-grown red wine. So it's a state red blend, more of a Bordeaux-style blend, a 2016. Retails for about $80 a bottle. Super smooth. I mean, this is the wine you're going to have with your filet mignon, your mushroom sauce that goes along with your filet. Yeah, you like that? Your Salisbury steak, if you were eating elementary school lunch,
yeah,
this
no,
would be
that
the...
that didn't sound as appealing.
It didn't sound as good. Salisbury steak. That's what Chef always serves in South Park. And also, Megan and I are drinking the Estate Petite Syrah. Mm. And the Estate Petite Syrah is a lovely bottle of wine, a little bit like a... almost has like an inky kind of quality to it. But again, super smooth. One cool thing about Gratis, if you folks at home want to check them out, is you're probably not going to find them in any store. They are a really small wine producer in the Napa Valley. And compared to their competitors, they're extremely reasonably priced. I know, you know, $60 is a lot of money for a bottle of wine, But in Napa, $60 for a bottle of wine is not a lot of money when you find, you know, some of these wineries are charging $200 and $300 a bottle. So gratis, I have gratisness that we are getting
clever
to enjoy this. You like that?
Clever, Eddie.
Only on Wednesdays. I had to think about what day it is. For a second. But yeah, so Belcampo did the old bait and switch.
Yeah, that is something. Food toot isn't going to be a thing. It has to be now. With all these new meats and everything coming out, you can't fake it. We're going to catch you.
Dude, but can you imagine? I am so glad I never shopped there, because I can't tell you how I was. There's a great restaurant right across from.
You get food too.
I know. A great restaurant right across from Belcampo called Rustic Canyon. It's one of the best restaurants in LA. And I'm eating at Rustic Canyon. I'm looking across the street and I see Belcampo. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks like a New York Italian upscale deli is what it kind of looks like, with the butcher shop, and you see everything in the glass. And it's like, oh shit, I can't wait to try this.
Oh, no.
And now
you.
No, screw you, Belcampo.
Wow,
I will.
You are really angry.
That's not cool, man. Charging $50 for something that, you know, at least let me know what you're charging me for, and then I'll pay the $50 because I'm, you know, whatever.
Oh, but they were. Yeah. No, I'm not going.
Okay. We're not going?
Nope. Done.
You're done.
Yep.
We.
Hashtag foodtude.
Absolutely. We are done. Thankfully, I did go to some good restaurants. I went to Union, one of my favorite spots in Pasadena. And then tonight, I'm taking my friend to Bavel in downtown LA, which is another one of my favorite restaurants in LA. And I think I can see our guest is about ready to come on, because he's been sipping on his gratis wine. I see, you know, I see him indulging slightly, and I think he thinks I'm not looking, but I am looking at him enjoy some wine. I want to welcome to Kill the Bottle Podcast a special, spectacular human being. He is a television show creator. He's created some of your favorite television shows, you know, one by the name of Chopped, I have told him personally that is like my sports center of food television shows. It is something that I can have on and I love. He's also created shows like America Says, which is hysterical. And so I'd love to see that there's a variety of projects that he's working on. Mm-hmm. And I'm just slowly dragging on his introduction because I'm waiting to see his reaction as I take super long to introduce him. So I want to welcome to Kill the Bottle Podcast, Mr. Dave Knoll.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. First of all, I love this podcast. I loved it even before tonight. But second of all, this wine is outstanding. Whatever you're doing right now, go and buy yourself some of this wine. For a special occasion or for a Thursday, I don't care. Whatever you're doing, this red blend is killing me right now.
It's really good stuff, man. I'm so happy that that this is the episode that you got to be on, because you know it just worked out timing wise. That gratis was the wine that we were sending out this week, so I'm glad you got to participate drinking this wine, Dave. And Dave created.
You told me that you got the gratis specially for me. Are you lying to me right now? No, I'm kidding.
Hey, no,
you just got food tooed.
No, because I knew he was. I knew he was our next guest. it's so funny because I'd say like the gratis had been reaching out to me to be on the show, and I was like, no, not yet. No, not yet.
Wait for Dave Knoll.
This week.
Gratis.
Well, I was like, wait for somebody
wait
I know.
Wait for Dave Knoll.
I've been out to dinner with Dave, and I remember his taste in cab, and he liked cab. So I was like, I know Dave is going to dig this wine.
Maybe.
And Dave also created my favorite food television show.
What is it?
It's called Dinner Takes All. It's a show.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Dave also created that show. Nice. And Megan is a bit of a food television
connoisseur. First of all, I need to thank you, because I was a middle school cooking teacher, and the amount of days that your television show saved me when I was hungover and I just popped it on for my kids. So many days. Thank you
Learn
so much.
Learn from this, kid.
Yes.
Learn from this.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I just sat, plopped them down and had them watch Chop, but it also inspired them to want to do their own competition. So we had a big day once a year where after school, I'd get three or four ingredients and I'd have teams compete against each other, and they'd get a big trophy at the end, whoever had the best meals. And it all came from them watching Chopped when I was hungover. So thank you again so much.
Which is funny because I would just watch Chopped when I was hungover. Thankfully, I didn't have any kids around me.
Right. I had 120.
Yeah, 120. So Dave, you've created, and I, you know, it's great because the number keeps going up. But last time I remember it's over 800 episodes of television.
Even more than that. We're in the thousands now.
He's in the thousands now. Bravo. So I was going to ask you what helps you keep your edge? Because I mean, somebody could create over a thousand episodes of a television show and, you know, kind of dial it in. And one thing I know about you from having worked with you is that you don't do that. But what's your secret to that, to helping you keep your edge?
The secret, I'll give it up right now, is gratis wine. People. That is the secret.
As I pour more. Thanks, Megan. Here you go.
Please
I'll pour you
more.
Some more.
So, yeah, what is the secret? That's crazy.
We create constantly. So Eddie knows. I work with a woman named Cleve Keller, and we've been working together. We sold our first show in 2003, and we've been working together since 2007. She finally joined me after I begged her for 4 years. I kept saying, work with me, work with me, work with me. So we've been working together since 2007. And really the key is we do it every single day.
Yes.
There's other production companies that are, you know, their main thing is building a business, a company with lots of people, and they produce shows and they have lawyers on hand and all this other stuff. And Cleve and I, our main focus is creating the next giant hit show. That's our goal. What we want to create, the next Survivor, the next Wheel of Fortune, the next Family Feud, the next America's Got Talent. We want to create that show and then put Eddie in the show. Those are our two goals, and that's it.
I didn't tell you that gratis is a good brainwashing wine. I forgot to mention that to you, that they've been laced with a good brainwashing material that was delivered just to your home, Dave. So thank you.
And it goes really well with Salisbury steak, which is my favorite.
Yeah, Salisbury steak, mushrooms.
This is my favorite.
I remember eating it at elementary school. My two favorite days were pizza day and Salisbury steak day. So, and now in retrospect, I don't even want to know what that Salisbury steak, how many years it's taken off my life. Yeah, it's probably pretty vile.
I know, our poor students.
Our poor
students.
Now, Dave... Because he's got three lovely daughters, and I always imagine it's got to be really hard as a TV creator to create stuff that entertains them. Like how does them in your life affect the way you pitch a show or just the way you think creatively?
We always talk about, Cleve and I talk about how when we're creating a show, the perfect show would be a show that the girls could watch. Cleve has a son as well. So our four kids, I have three daughters. Cleve has a son. The perfect show would be a show they could watch. And my grandmother is 98 years old and she's still with us and she's amazing. I just saw her the other day. She's brilliant.
Wow.
The perfect show is a show they could all watch. Now, you know, we haven't actually created a show that they all liked yet. But maybe someday it'll happen. But the goal is create a show that everyone can watch. We call them Big Tent, Blue Sky, 8 to 98 shows. So you can enjoy it if you're 8 years old, and you can enjoy it if you're 98.
But so what was the first show that you guys sold?
Cleve came into my office at this point. I didn't know who she was. It was 2003. It was a gorgeous day in 2003 in Manhattan. The sun glistening off the skyscrapers. And this crazy lady came into my office. And at that point, I took a ton of pitches. Whoever had any idea and wanted to pitch it to somebody, they could have pitched it to me. And I had sold a couple of things at this point. But I just took a ton of pitches, like every day, and like producers would come in, and executives and comedians or writers would come in. Anyone in New York with an idea for its TV show. And this woman came in. I didn't know who she was, but I knew she worked at the Oxygen Network. And she came in, Cleve Keller, and I thought she had a cool name right away.
She does.
I'm big on great names. Eddie Zamora, for instance, great television name. So Cleve Keller comes in, and she pitched me a show, and I had this yellow notepad. Now I have these fancy leather notepads. So back then I used to just do yellow notepads. And I remember thinking to myself, this might be the best idea I've heard all year.
Wow.
And I basically thought, I could sell this. I think I can sell this show, and I might even be able to sell this show in one phone call. And then I thought, this could be a fluke. Maybe this is just, because sometimes people have great ideas, it's a total fluke. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I'm going to ask her for one more show idea. And the second show idea she pitched was just as good as the first. And I was like, this is like a moment where like, oh my gosh, I'm hearing Mozart for the first. Mozart just walked in, played me something. And that's how I felt. I was like, this is the smartest. When it comes to creating, you know, this crazy gig, unscripted television, when it comes to creating unscripted television, I have tripped upon a genius. And the show was called Film Fakers. It aired on AMC. And I sold it in one phone call. I called my friend Vlad Wolinetz at AMC. He was one of the dudes that at that point at AMC, they picked up a couple of shows you may have heard of. They picked up in succession Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Walking Dead.
Oh.
So these are smart people.
Yeah.
Sadly,
never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, yeah.
Sadly, Film Fakers did not last as long as those shows. But that led Cleve and I to this amazing run together where we're still together.
Now, because, you know, it's funny. I almost use myself as an example where you work in a certain field where and folks will only look at you as this type of a career. So, you know, I am only because somebody let's say somebody only has ever seen me on Dinner Takes All. So automatically they can only see me as a judge on a food competition show. But you and Cleve have created such a variety. You've created game shows. And I know how excited you get about game shows. How like, what is your trick? Because I'm assuming, obviously I know Chopped was such a big success that people will look at you as, okay, that's just what you do. You only create food competition shows. What is your,
It's crazy hard. It's crazy hard because you're absolutely right. No matter what, and I get it. It completely makes sense. What people know you for, they just assume that's what you do. And there was a point where we fought that, and lately we're trying actually to just embrace it and say people know us for cooking competition. They know us for game show. We have sold a lot of other different types of shows over the years. We just recently sold this amazing doc series that has this. I cannot reveal the amazing hook, but it's a great hook that could go for decades. It's that good. But what you'll notice as soon as it comes out, you know, in 2022, is that it is food related. So it's you bend the rules a little bit, right? So people see you as food. So we're like, oh well, this isn't a competition show. This is a doc series, and we sold it right away. There's another competition that we sold that, again, it's kind of in the same, has the same beats as a show like Chopped, but is in an entirely different genre that has never been done before, as far as we know. The first time there was that tattoo competition, I think it was Ink Master. Mm-hmm. I like beat myself up. I was like, why weren't we pitching Ink Master? We're morons. And so we're, you know, the goal is to not let that happen again.
what's the best show that we've never seen that you guys pitched that got sold and just didn't? What's the show that that hurts you that it never that it's not on TV now?
I mean, the truth of the matter is we've sold, you know, like 50 plus television series. I counted the other day, and I think we're up to 58. So I'll soon be able to say 60 plus, hopefully. But 50 plus television series. But that, you know, there was probably 200 deals that we've sold over the years, 200 show ideas that we've created that people have given us money for that no one's ever heard of. And the sad part is, you know, we love almost all of them. Like, we have a new talk show that we're working on right now that we're going to shoot in August. And I'm just so happy every time I talk about it because I'm like, this is amazing. But, you know, if you're playing the odds, if I said, you know, bet your $10,000, you would bet that this show is not going to be a hit because most shows are not a hit. And that's the crazy, exhausting, exhilarating, amazing part about creating TV shows is the reality is most of them will not hit. But you're just all of a sudden, you know, America says we had no idea if that was going to work. And in 3 years now, we sold it January of 2018. Now, obviously, it's June 2021, I think. So it's 3 years later, and there's already been more than 400 episodes produced. We had no idea that would take. There's just no. But really, we love every single one. Honestly, the shows I love the most, we haven't sold. We have a show called Do You See What I See, which I think is the most miraculous game show of all time. To even call it a game show, it's like this event competition, family competition with these mind-blowing visuals, kind of Where's Waldo meets Survivor.
I want to sit in a meeting where that gets Where's Waldo meets Survivor?
And no one bought it. Like, we went, don't get me started. What did you put your money down towards if you're not picking
if
up
you're
juicy
not doing
rides?
This. Yeah, of course. I have a question about making a partnership work that long. Because sometimes...
Because you work with Eddie, so you know difficult.
I'm glad he caught on. I didn't know if you could see my look. I'm just joking. But that's a really long time to work with the same person. It's like a marriage almost. What's the trick?
It is. It's exactly like a marriage. It's so weird. Because people will ask, you know, I've been with my wife, you know, 25 years. We celebrated our 25th anniversary a couple months ago. But I've been with Cleve now, right? Like the first show we sold was in 2003. I don't know math, but that's a long time. I think
that's almost 20 years.
I guess that's 18 years.
18 years, yeah.
But, Cleve and I we do love each other. Like we have gigantic laughs. We create stuff constantly. We really, really respect the other person.
You know, Dave, it's funny. I was going to ask you because I'll tell you a little story that I don't think I've ever told you this, but it's January. It's July, I believe, of 2018. And I am working as an auto show person. I'm doing this thing called the Yum Yum Foodie on the side. It's my passion. It's what I do so much of the time, but I still had to do this auto show job. And I was working at an event and I had an interaction with somebody who was polite and sweet to me. But for some reason, this one question that you get asked all the time when you work in that job twisted my tit the wrong way and I almost went postal.
Oh,
I had aggressive. That moment where I was like, I am going to tell this person to screw off. I don't know why. It was that moment where I'd hit the peak where I said, I am done. Yeah. This is the last time I will ever do this job. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what my future looks like. I have no idea. But I you know, I believe in myself and I'm not doing this anymore. Fast forward a week later, I go to Japan on vacation that I had planned. I come back from Japan, and within X amount of time I come back from Japan is when I speak to you and Cleve for the first time. And you know, call it kismet, call it whatever, but you know, you and Cleve have had such a huge impact. I wouldn't be sitting here with Megan right now had you two not believed in me in some way, shape, or form. Who believed in you whenever you doubted yourself, or was there that somebody that gave you that push? Because as you know, you said you've pitched so many shows and only X amount gets sold, and you know sometimes they fall through. Who is that person for you if you have someone?
when I was at VH1, so I was at VH1, I was at MTV and VH1, and I had a couple side gigs at Nickelodeon and Comedy Central, because you officially back in the day there worked for MTV Network. So my card said MTV Network. But at this point, there was a point in time after I'd been there for 6 or 7 years that I worked for VH1. And I was just a guy that I didn't know better. So I would create shows. I was producing shows. My job was to produce. And I would say, well, what about this show? What about this show? And I was working for a man named Bill Brand. And he is amazing. He was amazing then. And I learned so much from him. And he's amazing now. And at one point, he called me in to his office. And, you know, you were a little bit scared because this is like the senior vice president or whatever. And I go into Bill Brand's gigantic office. I think I had a small office at that point that I shared. And he had a gigantic office. That's how important this guy is. And he said, you know, Dave, between me and you, you keep pitching these shows. It's not really what you're supposed to be doing. And if they succeed, you're not really going to make any money. Like, you work for VH1 and you're doing something. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And he was like, what you're really, if you are a show creator, you should pitch from the outside. You do a deal for the show. And then if the show succeeds, you make more money. And he was like, you should really think about that. And then I remember going home to my wife and I was kind of excited and nervous and whatever, because I was like, is he complimenting me or is he like literally like, is he trying to get rid of me and just doing it in a weird Machiavellian kind of way?
Right.
But God bless her, my wife believed that it was real. And she was like, I think he might be right. Maybe you should try to figure this out. Leave MTV Networks and try to pitch from the outside. So I would say my wife was crazy and believed in me, and this, and Bill Brand believed in me.
So funny. I'm always like fascinated by, you know, by that, because you know, obviously, you know, our parents believe in us and whatnot, but you know, my parents. Sorry, Megan.
Mine are always like, do not go for your dreams. You are never moving back in our house. Figure it out.
Slams down the bottle of Fireball.
Yes.
What was your question, Megan?
That was it.
My bad.
I didn't have a question. No, I have rapid fires.
Oh, you have rapid fires for Dave.
Yeah. But what were you going to say? See, we need to stop drinking so much.
Me? I've barely had any.
Don't you me me.
Don't I me you.
I'm going to feed food to you.
Glad you asked Dave that longevity question, because, you know, Megan and I work together and I think we do all right. Mm-hmm. I think we do all right as far as I actually look forward to seeing Megan. How long did you go without seeing Cleve during the pandemic?
I did see Cleve recently, like a week ago, but basically almost a year.
Wow,
that's crazy.
A year and 3 months. It was very weird. Now, we talked constantly and we saw each other on Zooms constantly. It was very, very weird because she used to come over here all the time. I'd go into the city and we would work together. We would create together, or Cleve would come out here. And either create on my porch or in my old office. This is what I'm in my new office now. Cleve has never seen it, which is weird. She's seen the Zoom version, but never the live version.
Mm.
And she has a desk. I actually have two desks.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love it. And you have a picture
One
of Disneyland.
Desk for myself.
He has a great map of Disneyland. It's awesome.
I have a gigantic original map of Disneyland, which is true. I have a handmade enchanted tiki room sign, which is also true.
Wow.
And I have a desk for Cleve that she's never seen live. She's seen it in pictures and on Zoom.
She'll
be here soon.
Are you ready for some rapid fire, Dave?
No, because I'm on... By the way, everybody, this wine is unbelievable.
It's so good. I shit you not. We're sipping on it. It's so damn good. It really is.
It's really good. I'm super happy.
And,
so- Go.
Glass three, by the way, glass three is really where it gets great.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice him filling it up.
Oh, Dave's a ninja. I'm watching Dave work it.
He's a ninja. Well, this is what the show's all about, is letting loose and talking about stuff we love.
It's going to get good now.
All right. So I'm going to ask you questions. I don't want you to think about them. Just spit out the answer. Are you ready?
Okay.
No. He's like, no. All right. Favorite day of the week?
Thursday.
Favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
We haven't had one person that says anything else. Thanksgiving.
Everybody says Thanksgiving.
I guess this is a food and wine and travel
it's
thing.
It's true.
So
yeah,
everyone
that's
loves
true.
Thanksgiving.
People love Thanksgiving.
Invisibility?
Right. Thanksgiving's just about drinking.
That's right.
It's true.
Yes. And invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
First celebrity crush?
Linda Carter, obviously.
Oh, you and my father.
That truth lasso. Her and her truth lasso.
Cake or pie?
Oh, cake.
And is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
Yes.
Hard
if
stance.
If you make that decision, you should not get the animal crackers.
Thank you.
Agreed.
Thank you. Absolutely.
You win.
He
wins.
He wins the internet. Yeah.
That was it. You got all the right answers.
There was no. Yeah. Those were all.
There was no wrong answers. You nailed it.
Those were all right answers.
Thanksgiving.
He's like going over him now.
What other holidays do I love?
Yeah. What other holidays do you love?
I really love the day after Christmas.
That's not a holiday.
It is my.
Go back.
It is my one of my favorite people in the world is my Aunt Barb, and it is her birthday. Mm. And, it's one of my favorite. So we would have these big, gigantic Christmas, get togethers or whatever. But the next day is when you just go and relax and go to Aunt Barb and celebrate her birthday. And then I have three daughters. And Sophia, my second daughter, was born on her birthday.
Oh, wow.
And so I've always loved the day after Christmas.
Okay.
Just,
all right.
Just,
I'll forgive you.
Amazing day.
I'll forgive you for not picking an actual holiday. It's okay.
We'll so I haven't had this moment yet, Dave, but I almost wonder if folks who have had it, and I can tell that you come from good parents because you're just a good person.
Good soul.
You're just a good human being. When was the moment, or what was the moment that you've, and again, I know you're a super hardworking person and you're always trying to create the next show, but what was a moment that you can think of where you felt like you arrived, whatever that was, where you felt like finally I'm happy that I quit, at MTV, that what I do for a living.
TV, I have found, is so crazy because at least so far, there never really is that moment. There's what Cleve and I have realized now that we've been doing this for a long time is you have to enjoy every single win, even if the win is small. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this podcast right now. I literally am enjoying the gratis wine. It's unbelievable. There's one moment where, we're on the set of, we're on the Paramount lot and we're working on a new show with Vivica Fox and she's talking about her career behind the scenes. And I was just like, Dave Knoll, just embrace this particular moment. We worked on this show called Movies 101. We were in, where we would interview major, major stars. And before he went on stage, there was a couple of things that were going wrong. So I hung out with Martin Scorsese, just the two of us for 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
Backstage. And we were just literally standing there, relaxed, having I think we each had Diet Cokes, just talking about movies.
Oh wow.
There's these weird moments where, just different things happen and you're like, I have to enjoy this moment. And I would say coming up, I didn't enjoy the moments enough. I didn't, I didn't take enough pictures. That's literal where I didn't take enough pictures, but also metaphorically.
I love that.
There were no cell phones then. So I'm hanging out with Martin Scorsese for 45 minutes as like there was an electrical problem or whatever, literally talking about movies for 45 minutes. Cause I think that's, he only talks about movies and Italian food.
Yeah.
That's all he talks about.
Yeah.
and it's this mind blowing moment in my life. And I obviously, and I don't have a picture now. I take pictures of everything. Eddie, you remember on set. I take pictures of everything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just look, hanging out in Utah with Eddie Zamora, like it's a great moment. And there's all these mountains and we have this gigantic set and it's colorful and it's amazing. And it's Kelsey and Cartier and Eddie. And so like, you know, Eddie. So when I say hanging out in Utah with Eddie Zamora, you think it's funny. But on the other hand, it's like one of the greatest moments of my life, right? That's a huge win. This is a show that Cleve and I had created years before, almost got it on the air multiple times. We literally at one point had Rachel Ray attached to the show and then it almost went and then didn't sell. And then all of a sudden we're there in this kind of gorgeous, gorgeous area. And this big set with all these lights and this giant audience. All of these moments are big giant wins. And it's so hard because there's elements of TV that are so difficult and heartbreaking. And, you know, I could go into those as well. But when you're in the moment, you have to enjoy it. You have to constantly remind yourself, like, hey, take the win, take the win, take the win.
Well, yeah, because you're far away from home. And, you know, and you, I guess you have to find those moments where you are, I guess, complete in that moment. And you're, I don't know, it's never okay to be away from home, but you can always find those shining lights in those moments and embrace them and be like, you know what, I am away from home for these, you know, for these moments to whatever, you know, whatever they are. Megan,
I feel like you and I didn't even like celebrate enough. You know? Like, I think we only went out to dinner once out there, right?
Well, yeah. Come out now, well, and we'll celebrate again.
Well, it's because we were shooting two a days. And like by the time we got out of that set, we were just like I was always hungry and I spent all day eating and I was always hungry.
Exhausting.
I was always hungry.
It's really funny.
Yeah. And I was always laughing.
I've always wanted to ask judges that or people that eat food for shows. Like, are you ever hungry afterwards?
Well, am I ever hungry afterwards? It's so funny because I still remember the day. So, you know, my co-judge is this beautiful human being named Cartier Brown, Delicious Miss Brown on Food Network. And there was one of the days where Cartier made her famous fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And she was going to cook the fried chicken that day. And I still remember some of the production assistants went out and, you know, got the ingredients or whatever. And we just finished. We had shot two episodes. And Cartier is like, no, Cartier is throwing down her fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And I made an effort to barely, like, just to taste enough to judge food that day. But then, if 100%. I remember correctly, that day the food was incredible. So I just kept on eating.
Oh no!
I was almost like the movie Seven, the gluttony guy who just ate too much and his stomach exploded. I'm serious. It was like a David Fincher movie. And it was me.
No.
And anyway, but so yes, that.
And then you ate her chicken.
Oh my God, her chicken was so damn good. And then I went back to my hotel room, and ate like half a container of Trader Joe's chocolate covered almonds. So you're welcome for that.
Very classy.
And they still let you on TV.
You know what? Thankfully, I was sitting behind a podium, and it's very flattering from boob level
down.
Up.
Yeah, chest down. No.
What's awesome to be the producer, obviously, is we're not on camera, so I can eat whatever, and you know, like I kind of regret it the night of. But I don't have to then go on camera like Eddie does.
Did you eat everything then? That was going to be one of my questions. Do you get to try everything?
You know, on every cooking competition show, I don't know about other people's shows. Every show that I'm a part of, we eat all the food.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
What's great is we pretend, you know, as the producers, we pretend it's necessary for us to eat this food.
Oh, yeah.
To be part of the judging.
Of course.
But obviously, like Eddie knows, like, I didn't have anything to do with the judging. He did it all.
We're just testing it for
like,
safety.
Oh, let me try this. Let me try this gravy.
We used to.
Let me try this cheesecake.
We couldn't wait. And sorry, it's a little BTS, but like we you know, the folks on the show, and I'm assuming it's similar on Chop. They present their dishes, and then the food gets photographed for like beauty shots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole like photography team in a separate studio, and they're making everything look as beautiful as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that food would leave for beauty shots, we're like, shit, we got to attack that freaking food. Like, we would just be like, rah, 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 rah. We would see somebody making like a steak or chocolate chip cookies or whatever the hell it was. And we're just like, I want to go eat here.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, there was always that moment like, no, don't touch it. It's got to go to beauty shots. I'm like, oh, shit. Mm. I can't touch anything yet.
I wouldn't be able to.
It's so true. As soon as it goes to beauty shots, we're there with like, like a middle school boy.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I couldn't do that. I couldn't hold back. It's like my dream job just to taste professional food. Not to be on camera, per se. I do have a face for podcasting, but...
Shush, Megan Elizabeth.
But
she's a pretty lady. She's got some fan club.
But... Yeah. Fan club. Yeah. But I would love to just try some food. It's on my bucket list. That and driving the little golf carts that pick up the balls on the driving range, that's on my bucket list too. Achievable bucket list.
That,
it just sounds like fun.
Achievable bucket list.
That's it.
Great.
So, Dave, one of the things I tend to do is I like to throw a little hypothetical kind of a meal out to folks. And
oh my gosh, I'm in.
Okay, so I can't remember what I was watching this weekend, but it stuck to me. So I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I asked you this. I can't even fathom what the hell I was watching for this to come up.
Oh,
but
God, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for you.
Wait, hey, chill out. So there is the hillbilly episode of Chopped.
Oh God.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
It is the ultimate hillbilly episode of Chopped and
the roadkill episode.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So what? Is in what are the secret ingredients
to the roadkill
for you know you can pick your course. It's either appetizer, dessert, or the main. What are the
you're saying in the hillbilly episode
of Chopped? What are the secret ingredients that you're gonna throw off? You know, Jessup, Rufus, and
Tina.
First of all,
and Tina.
You're tapping into my childhood because I lived in Belvedere, New Jersey, and people are like, is there a hick version of New Jersey? And we literally used to call it Hick Jers. Belvedere is you would pass farm after farm after farm after farm. You went over a hill. No, I'm sorry. You made a left first, then passed more farms, then went over the hill, and you get into Belvedere. We were on the edge of the Delaware River. And so I know exactly, like it would be whatever I ate as a kid, in the hillbilly episode.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have like fresh, Delaware River fish in there.
I was scared.
Government cheese.
Oh yes.
Definitely like that block.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. Oh yeah.
Cheese.
I had that in Miami. Oh yeah.
Definitely that.
You'd have the, it wasn't Kool-Aid. It was the A&P brand of Kool-Aid. Lid, that powder that they would give you.
Oh my God.
That's all we could afford. That was every drink. It was either water or that, whatever the A&P Kool-Aid was.
Wow.
And they had like 20 different envelopes. There was the red and the pink and the purple and the blue and the green. So you'd have that. What else did we eat as a kid? And then Cheerios.
Oh,
that would be
and Cheerios.
I'd smash them.
Wow,
and make a
that
crust.
And would that be an appetizer, main course, or dessert round?
Well, because there was fresh fish, I would say main course.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
You know what? You smash up those Cheerios. You put them on the fish.
Absolutely.
You make a little crust on the fish.
Yeah, look at you, Megan. Huh? What else?
Yeah. Shit. What about the Kool-Aid? sugar, so you can make a glaze that goes over with the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Caramelized.
Thank you.
That's right.
A little bit purple, but yeah.
Ooh, a purple caramelized. What was the other? Oh, the government cheese. Shit. What would you do with cheese and fish?
I mean,
cheese fish.
A government cheese raclette.
Oh, I got Yeah. Fish sticks.
Fish sticks. Look at that. Fish sticks.
You're welcome.
With mozzarella, with whatever, government.
With government cheese.
Government cheese.
You're welcome.
Fish sticks, crusted,
I
and
won.
Cheerios.
Done and done.
Done and dusted.
Done and dusted, mother. Yeah.
I was at a very high-end fancy party. Not a party. It wasn't a party at all, but it was like a fancy gathering of fancy people. And there was a cheese spread, and I was having the cheese, and I was like, why do I remember this so well?
No.
It tastes so familiar.
Was it Cheese Whiz?
This particular type of cheese tastes so familiar. And it was a bit, and I was like, I think this tastes just like government cheese.
Oh, wow.
It brought me right back.
Oh, yeah.
We had you had a government cheese flashback. You know, it's funny. And now this, I know I'm going back a little bit, but I just thought of this now, Dave. And I'm so curious. And I think fans of Chopped might be curious as well. I'm thinking of this right now. So, you know, I love Price is Right. And I always wonder, I'm like, whose fucking job is it to design the Showcase Showdown? Because, like, that is the, like, who decides to, like, who is involved? How does the process happen for the secret ingredients in an episode of Chopped?
There is a food team that is part of the Chopped team, food producers. So they're in charge of everything that is food related, and they're absolutely amazing. So
that job.
People will say, is it random? And it's absolutely not. Nothing is ever random.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally putting baskets together that where they know, oh, a really, really high-end chef, a really, really smart chef will know what to do with these baskets.
Oh, so there's like a right answer to those baskets.
Yeah,
the execution maybe won't be right, but maybe the...
But they have an idea of what the right answer is. Okay.
Exactly.
Cool.
So it's not just like, you know, a crazy person back in the back just going, hey, gummy bears and squid, yay.
But speaking of crazy person, has there been an episode that you've seen where you really felt sorry for the chefs because of the ingredients that they were handed? You're like, what the...
And then did that producer get fired after that?
The thing about it is a crazy hard show, and mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, people who watch and who watch a lot of episodes, it's impossible to realize how hard it is because, you know, it's like anything. If you're trained in anything, you work so hard to be good at this thing. But what we're doing is giving you the hardest assignment ever. And we're giving you three of them. You know, if you don't get Chopped, you get three impossible assignments. And there's a time limit, and there's cameras, and there's lights, and there's famous people in the room. Ted Allen, you know, is not intimidating in real life, but I've seen in real life, by the way, he's the best person ever.
He's the nicest guy ever. Yes.
Amazing. He's so nice. You've hung out with him.
Yeah,
he is the nicest person ever. He's crazy smart. He's just 100%. One of the greatest people I've ever worked with.
And he's a great voice.
He has a great voice. He does. He does have a great voice.
And he has a great voice. But that said, I've seen chefs crumble at the sight of him. And they're just like, oh, wow. They're so intimidated. Zakarian, Alex Gornischelli, these people are so intimidating. And again, not in real life, although Zakarian is, yes, intimidating in real life. I'm never not intimidated by Jeffrey. You're asking people to do this incredibly difficult thing with a time limit. So people crumble in different ways all the time. And that's okay. That's kind of what the show's all about.
But was there a basket ingredient that busted out that you're like, oh, man, I feel so sorry for whoever got this round because that is, you know, this smells vile.
Nothing that comes to mind. But there are times, there's often times where the judges are like, I'm glad I'm not cooking. You know?
Yes, yes. I just imagine like...
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I just imagine some of those rounds. Like I always thought that at least some of them, all the food had to taste bad, and they were just going for the least one with some of those ingredients. But I didn't taste them, so I don't know.
The least tasting, you know, tasting coming as a judge on a TV
they
show.
They all taste good?
No, there are moments where maybe the execution is slightly off, where and you are definitely trying to, I don't want to say the best of the worst, because that's not it, because people are putting their best foot forward.
The best of the worst,
but there are moments where, you know, because there's drama on TV, things go wrong. But when you have something go wrong for everybody at some way, in some way, shape, or form, you really are trying to find the little nuggets of the little diamonds that came through.
It's fascinating. So many people want to know that. I'm telling you, like me, just like watching this for my whole life.
Megan, you know me. You can ask me.
I couldn't. I feel intimidated. Even next to you. I can't. What are you having for dinner tonight?
Gratis. My wife is Polish. And so we have kielbasa fairly often, you know, whatever. So, but a very high-end kielbasa with onions and peppers, a risotto on the side.
Oh my gosh. And what's your favorite thing to cook yourself?
I love grilling, and I kind of always have, even before I got into this cooking thing. I'm forever trying to get the perfect steak, the perfect grilled chicken, the perfect burger. The perfect grilled vegetable medley. Like, I'm always trying to do it.
Awesome.
And the kids, like, it's so funny. I'll be like, this happened during COVID. I was like, this is the greatest steak. Look at this I've ever made. This is like chopped worthy. Like, Zakarian would be weeping. Like, this is amazing. I did it.
I want to come eat
and
at your
house.
Like,
yeah, it was good. It was fine. It was good. It was good. You're great. Yeah, sure.
You're like, Dad, whatever. I'm looking at TikTok. Just like, leave me alone, Dad. Yeah. The steak is fine.
It's fine.
I'm taking pictures and I'm like, look, everybody. But they're like, yeah, it's great. Great.
Dave Knoll.
You're great, Dad. You're so great.
I am honored to call you and your lovely business partner, Cleve, friends. You have had, again, I keep saying it again, but you have had such a big impact on my life, not just professionally, but observing someone like you doing what you do from my side has had a big impact in my life, because so many people, and you know, folks listening at home, in television, in movies, when you see television executives, and so many times they're portrayed in a negative light, or both you and Cleve, though obviously you know what you want, that's neither here nor there, you still always have respect for everybody around you, and that's something that I can always take from my experience working with both of you that I will never ever forget. I always end every episode the same, and it's the only thing we don't get back in life is time. And I want to thank you, Dave, for spending a little bit of your precious time with Megan and I here tonight. And for the folks at home, thank you so much for your time. It means the world to Megan and I, because we get to do something that we love to do. So please, if you're listening, hop on to, you know, Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe, give us a reason to keep doing this and having so much fun and bringing on
amazing guests
like Mr. Dave Knoll. Dave, thank you. I love you sincerely, and enjoy glass number 4 of that bottle.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm you need to share some with your wife if she's still awake.
Stop hogging it. Yeah. Come on.
Don't
come
hog
on
it
now.
Up.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm going to have to open another bottle.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Dave, thank you.
But thank you both so much. This has been an honor. Your podcast is really, really fun to listen to and very funny. And I have enjoyed multiple episodes. And Eddie, thank you so much. Cleve and I both love you. My wife loves you. My kids think you're amazing.
What?
They were so happy that I was doing this podcast.
Oh my God. If I wasn't tan, you'd see me blushing.
He's blushing. It's uncomfortable.
And dude, we're definitely working together again and very, very soon. And I'll see you on Tuesday.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, Dave. Have a good night.